Lessons I've Learned, a series of podcasts by global consultant, best-selling author, and former Harvard Business School professor, David Maister.
Hello, I'm David Maister. This series of 15 podcasts is called Managing Professionals: Attitudes, Skills, and Behaviors. It's designed to help people who have the responsibility for managing a group of professionals. This seventh episode is called What Managers Must Be, Believe, and Do, and is based on my book, Practice What You Preach. In previous episodes, we've discussed the power of coaching and some of the characteristics of a successful manager. I'm going to risk staying on the topic of the manager's characteristics, but this time examine some data that results from a study that I did of 139 professional service firms and what I was able to prove rigorously about the managers who lead the most successful businesses. In my statistical study of the 139 professional businesses in 13 different countries, I was able to prove that the firms that made the most money were those where the individual manager had the ability to get his or her people to lift their game and act energetically with dedication to achieve high standards of excellence and client service. In the book that reported on my findings, Practice What You Preach, I was also able to report 9 in-depth profiles of some of the best managers that I was able to find in my database. These people were accomplishing double the profitability and double the growth rate of their peers. And I'd like to tell you in this episode what it was that created their success. I'll summarize and explore the comments about the managers divided into 3 main findings. First and foremost, what effective managers must be. Second, what they must believe. And then and only then will we report on what the best managers actually do. We start with what an effective manager must be. Beyond philosophy, the people in the most successful offices were both articulate and precise about what the individual manager needed to be. Notice, not do, but be. Consider circulating this list and asking those around you about whether you are these things. The managers in the most successful offices were rated highly on these things by the people around them. The very first things the people around them said were that the managers were, wait for it, honorable, noble, genuine, someone of high integrity, unquestionably honest, and sincere. Now remember, these are the results of identifying first who is delivering the highest financial performance. This was a surprising result to me, a pleasant finding, but one that I was not able to predict. Peter Drucker, the famous guru, was absolutely right when he said that management is above all else a matter of character. That's what my data showed too. I didn't know that for sure going in, but the data is very clear. It's how the leaders of the most successful firms are getting all of their people to raise their game. The next thing the staff in the offices that were most successful reported about their leaders were that they were, wait for these words, a good communicator, a good listener, sensitive to personal issues, good at reading people's character and skill level, smart but human, comfortable with allowing other people to get the credit. Quotes, you must care about things happening in your people's lives. You must have a real concern for people as individuals, who they are and what they want. In other words, what I kept on getting reminded in the financially successful offices that all the really great managers really were interested in people. And it sounds like a joke, but you know what? Many of us are not. All of the key characteristics here in this second category were about being truly interested in other people. If you're not truly interested in other people, stay out of management. The third category of things that people reported in the most financially successful offices about the managers were that they were enthusiastic, though even-keeled and even-tempered, studied and precise in their conversations, thoughtful, transparent, not opaque. What this meant was that to be a good manager, you can't be either too shy or too over-exuberant. To my unfortunate dismay, what I found out is you need emotional self-control to do the job well, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not spending my life being a manager. Next, the top managers were rated as being apolitical, that they were articulate about what they stood for, disciplined about standards, although open to reasons about why they may not be met in a particular situation. All of this led them to be a role model, a magnet for talent, the reason people wanted to stay. Now, these lists propose very interesting challenges. What can you do about the fact that what you are as a person probably accounts for a significant portion of your group's or business's success? It seems to suggest that if we want the people in our business to respond differently by raising their performance, the place that we need to start is to look into our own hearts and to ask what kind of person we are and how we come across to them and whether our character is the kind of character that makes other people want to really try. Terrifying questions. Try this. Start by checking all of the statements above. Then convene some one-on-one or small group meetings with your peers or those you manage directly, and have candid discussions about the contradictions, if any, about how you see yourself and how others see you. Find out precisely if they think you fall short, and if so, precisely how. If you think doing this in open discussion will be too hard, then perhaps you can try and do it through a survey. We now turn to the second category, from the database, what managers must believe. After we had determined that we had managers who had the right character, the second thing that came out of the data was that managers who operated according to certain philosophies produced the most financially successful businesses. And those philosophies were very common. This section contains the real messages of the superstar companies I was able to find. Success, it turns out, comes not from the specific tactics, but from the mindset, the worldview, or the belief system that lies behind the tactics. Again, this is not necessarily a pleasant message. Tactics you can adopt, change, put on, and take off. But a philosophy? You either believe this stuff or you don't. Or more importantly, either your people believe that you believe this stuff or they don't think you believe it. That's the test. Try it as a real test. Circulate the list I'm about to give you, or your modification of it, and ask your people whether or not they think you act in a way that reflects these beliefs. One way or another, you'll find out some interesting information. So, let's go through this list. I warn you, it's quite long. Managers of the successful firms I've looked at believe that, number one, first, you build your people and the rest will come. Number two, chasing money is not what makes you money. Development of people precedes and has a greater priority than today's profits. If you have the right client base, the right people with the right attitudes and the right systems, the money will follow. Those are the things you manage. The next belief is that success is truly about character, respect, integrity, trust, honesty, empowerment, confidence, loyalty, and keeping promises. That the manager must enforce these characteristics if you want to make a lot of money. It turns out that you must believe that it's important how people in your group treat each other. The manager's job is to monitor it and manage it. Treating each other with respect is something the manager must enforce. The manager must live up to his or her values every day. It also turns out that managers who believe the following end up with groups that make more money. And the following is, you must ensure that everyone is having fun doing what they do. If everyone's coming to work and being only dutiful, you will not deliver superior performance. What good managers need to know how to do is create fun and, more importantly, believe that it's important. People must not only trust management, they must also trust each other. And it's management's job to make sure that everybody in the group is trustworthy. The nicer you can make it at work for people, the better it will be for your profits because people's efforts will not become diffused. The real issue is the willingness to bet on the long term and not get stampeded by short-term pressures. Somebody said, it's the combination of fun and discipline that gets the job done. One without the other won't work. You have to do great work and you have to treat people well. It's not one or the other. Your agenda as a manager is to create a great place to work rather than working at making your own media rise. Now, those are some of the philosophies that were shared in common by the managers who produced these superior financial results. Do your people believe that you believe these things? Ask them. In addition to what you must be and believe, some very concrete advice was given about what individual managers must do. Do your people think you do these things? Number one, act as if not trying is the only sin. You're allowed to fail. Act as if you truly wanted everyone to succeed. Act as if you truly liked your people and were being nice to them. Actively help people with their personal development. Give people the freedom to exercise their judgment while holding them accountable for results. Allow people to learn from their mistakes without short-term retribution. Allow people to participate and to speak out no matter what their role is. Allow people to try different skills and experiences just to keep themselves fresh. Always do what you say you are going to do, managers who keep their word. Always put the focus on the other person if you're a manager. Respect the other person's time, not getting them to accommodate you. Doing what is right long-term for clients and for your employees. Do your own photocopying when necessary. Wash your own cup, somebody said. Don't be separate and distinct from your people. Don't hesitate to jump in and help. Facilitate, don't dictate. Put yourselves in employee shoes and know what they are going through. Lead by example. Be what you want others to be. Manage people in the way that works for each person, not just how you like to manage. You don't have to be a chameleon, just adaptable. Manage with an upbeat personal style, but keep that level emotional keel. Learn how to deliver bad news in a non-threatening, non-upsetting way. Respect confidences. Respect the need for people to have their own space. Show enthusiasm and drive. They are infectious and addictive. Take work seriously, but don't take yourself seriously. Treat people who leave respectfully and with appreciation for what they've done for your firm. Work the halls and know all of the employees. Spend at least one-third of your day doing this, said one group. Show levity and a good sense of humor. And speak regularly about your vision and philosophy so people know where you stand. Finally, let people know you as a human being, not just as their manager. Now, I apologize for two things. One is that's a long list, and I think that's part of the message. Being truly effective as a manager and getting large numbers of other people to raise their game is not a simple task. There's a lot of things you've got to take care of. And the second is, it may sound one more time as if this is left-wing or liberal or a religious or a moral point. And the answer, I am reporting them to you not because they are any of those things, but because the data clearly says that people who are good at those things produce the highest accomplishments and the highest financial results. So you'll need to listen to this podcast again and really track all of the things you have to be good at to get other people to raise their game. Do your people really think you do these things routinely? We're not done yet. There is, unfortunately, still more expected of the individual manager. Here's the remaining advice that came out of my study. You've got to be demanding to be a good manager, but you've got to make sure your demands are clearly driven by the common good, not your personal interests. You've got to build your organization and its roles around the people you have and then fill in the gaps around that. You can't have too many academic theories about logical structures. You need to create a casual, relaxed, and collaborative environment, but also one which is professional. You don't want to let people get sloppy. You don't want to have yourself any hidden agendas or let anyone else have them. You don't make what you know is a wrong decision just to hit a short-term financial goal. As one group said, don't put good, cool people into a dull situation. You've got to be an intermediary for your people to get cooperation for them from elsewhere in the organization. We heard that from the very first episode in this series. Make sure that people view you as the kind of person they would like to have as one of their neighbors. You've got to make sure that you and the rest of upper management is not concerned with demonstrating your status. You've got to back your people up when there are issues with clients. You've got to make a strong signal to all of your people that you're not afraid to make the difficult decisions. When you get angry, which should be rare, you've got to make sure that people know why. Once again, there's a lot I have covered here, but I have learned from my data, not from theory, that effective manager really does come down to character and beliefs. Get those right, and the skills and the tactics, which we will turn to in future episodes, will follow easily. This has been What Managers Must Be, Believe, and Do, the 7th episode in my 15-part series, Managing Professionals: Attitudes, Skills, Behaviors. In future episodes, we will look at the topics of inspiring people, dealing with underperformers, and creating teams. If you'd like more information or access to other podcasts in this series or the previous series, Marketing Professional Services, go to my website, davidmaester.com. This podcast series is now available for purchase, both as a single episode and as part of a DVD set, from my website, davidmaester.com/store, STORE. I'm also pleased to announce that my forthcoming book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker, is available for pre-order from this same location.